Okay, today's daf is Zvachim daf Tzadik Hey, and we continue now with the Mishnah on Tzadik Dal and Mabez. As we've started off with the Mishnah the past couple of days, we continue in our discussions of Dam Chatas, the unique halachas that apply to the blood of the Karban Chatas. Says the Mishnah, Beged Shiyatza Chutz L'Kla'im, a Beged that goes out from the Kla'im. We discussed in the past why this language of Kla'im and not the language of the Azara. Maybe it's a Mishnah that dates back for centuries. as we spoke about from the Mishkan, so beggar she has a chutz l'klayim. So a beggar that went out, and it had dam chatos on it. So you already had the chiyuv to wash it in makom kadosh in the azara, but it went out before you got a chance to wash it. So what do? Nichnas, you bring it back in umechavsa b'makom kadosh, and you wash it in makom kadosh. You wash it in the special way. You do kibus in the azara. Nitva chutz l'klayim. What if it went out and it got became tamei while it was outside? Karo, then you have to rip it apart, nichnas umechavs b'makom kadosh, and then you have to bring it in and then wash b'makom kadosh. What do you have to rip it apart for? There's an issur to bring tamei items into the azara. Besides the general issur of just bringing chulin b'azara, which might be limited to certain types of items. We discussed that machlokas we've shown him in the past. Is it only items that are ra'i to be nishchat? What if I bring a chair into the azara? Is that an issur d'oraisa, and is that an issur d'rabbanan? It's a discussion b'alei Tosfos and the Rambam and the Rashba. But here, we're talking about something that became tummy. That's a separate issur. Bringing something tummy into the Azara. So if it became tummy outside, so what do? You have a chiv of kibbutz inside, but you're not allowed to bring it in. So the Gemara is going to explain the Mishnah as my ripping it apart is going to make undo its tumma. It's going to make it not a beged enough that it's not tummy anymore, but still a beged enough that you can still do kibbutz on it. So it's going to be somewhere in the middle, and that's why that worked. That's why I'm korea it. So again, that applies to a beged. Three. There are three cases in a row. Let's do all three cases, and then maybe we'll comment. Number two, klicheres. What if you have a klicheres? She yatsa chus l'kalam that went out, and it had dam chatas on it. So nichnas, you bring it in. V'shover makam kadosh. As we know, klicheres, one cannot get kasher, can't kasher a klicheres, and therefore, once it got dam chatas on it, as the pasuk says, that you have to just break it, then put it back into the kiln. That's the only way to kasher a klicheres, like China. China is one of those. We say if China becomes trafed up, it can't kasher it unless you could put it back into a self-cleaning oven, and it won't disintegrate, then it won't come apart, which might not be so advisable. But that's a klicheres. So if it goes out, you have to bring it back in. Nitmachos l'kalayim, if it became tame outside. So nokvo, make a hole in it, so it's not usable. V'nichnas, and bring it in. V'shavar makam kadosh, same type of idea. You have to do an act that's, on the one hand, going to remove its tumma because it won't be called the same kli, or the same beged that it was. But it's still called a kli enough, or a beged enough, that it is still requires kibus. Third, kli nechoshes, a metal kli, sheyatza chis l'klayim, nechnas umarko v'shod v'akam kadosh. That requires mariku shtifa, right? Because that can be kashered. So you bring it back in, and you do mariku shtifa into the special type of cleaning and rinsing and washing. Nitva chis l'klayim, if it became tame when it was outside, pochzo, so you have to, again, somehow ruin it and break it, v'nechnas, and bring it back in, umarko v'shod v'akam kadosh. Same idea in all three cases, one by a beged, one by a klicheres, one by kli nechoshes, each one requiring something else, right? The first one requires kibbutz, the second one requires shvira, and the third requires mariko shtifa. So each one, you either bring it right back in, or if it became tame, you have to destroy it in a certain sense, and then bring it back in. Okay, a couple of points on the Mishnah. Number one, the Achronim asks, Sfasemes asks, and the Olas Shlomo, why is it that the Mishnah gives the case where it became tame outside? What if it became tame inside? Do the same thing. The Dafka, the Mishnah, says the case where it became Tameh outside. So, Sfasema says, Huadin, Venira de Huadin nitva bifnim, Gamkin asr lashosa bifnim. Right? If it became Tameh inside also, you gotta bring it out and rip it outside. Same thing. Umachniso machapso. Then bring it back in. Rak de ain derech li Tameh bifnim, nokaratana nitva bachutz. Number one, why did it say it? Because usually, when are things gonna become Tameh inside? Not so common for tummy items to be inside. Okay, maybe. The Mishnah at the end of the Erev, it talks about you find a dead sheretz. Okay, a flaw, some type of sheretz could come into the base of Migdash. But generally, it's not so much tumma there, so therefore it just gives the more common case of once it's outside, it becomes tummy. Oh, yesh lomar, or the second answer says, as fast as MS, why does the Mishnah give the case of nitma bachutz, not the regular case of bifnim, the nitma bifnim koro bifnim. If it was nitma inside, maybe you wouldn't take it outside. You'd rip it while it's still inside. To bekriya zu misalek atuma im lo yishe bekriya yoser miyisiyaso lachutz. If it'll take you just a short or even shorter time to rip it than to take it outside, then maybe we would allow you to rip it inside. So maybe that's why we'd have a different halacha. That's why it doesn't give that case. That is number one. The Ola Shlomo, when discussing this question of the Sfasemis, why does it give the case dafka of nitba bachutz and not nitba b'fnim? He says, but there's another question that you have to answer along these lines to help answer this question, and that is, v'ine b'zei yesh la'ayin l'chora. Amai karu, what do you even have to rip it for? Why? Neima da'asi asei dekibus v'dachi lalos asei. Why don't you say asi docha los asei? The asei of kibus would be docha los asei of bringing the tamei item into the azara. So what do you even have to break it or rip it or melt it down, whatever it is that we'll see? What do you have to do any of that outside? Just say asi docha los asei. Assuming like those Amoraim, which we'll get to soon, that say asi docha los asei even applies in Beis HaMikdash. That is a machlokas, whether that principle applies. But let's say assume it applies in Beis HaMikdash. See, if it doesn't apply, okay, that's the answer to the question. Ein asi docha los asei shem HaMikdash. We'll get back to that far in a second. But if you say it applies, why don't you say that you could do this? You want to say, Efshel l'kayim shneim. You never say asi docha los asei if you have another way out. You only asi docha los asei if you don't have any other choice. So, says the Ola Shlomo, no, you only say here, there's only an issur d'rabbanan anyway. So you would say asi docha los asei even if Efshel l'kayim shneim to bring it inside. So anyway, his answer is, you only say asi docha los asei if it's at the exact same time. Be'idna. Did we ever have a shiur on this? We were supposed to. We didn't have it. That was the week of my wife gave birth. Right? So we didn't have it. We owed. Tomorrow night, we're going to have a shiur though on psikresha. Tomorrow night will be psikresha related to zvachim. So we'll have to put asi docha los asei on the list. But anyway, says the Ola Shlomo. So here, amnam adavar nachod, to lohavi be'idna, the halav avar, takeif kishemachnes habegad lemigdash. The aselo makayim ashas kibus. If it's outside, you know why we say we have to rip it or break it beforehand? Because the second that you bring it in, you violate the issur d'oraisa of knisa davar tami lazara. You don't wash it until you bring it inside. So it's not at the same time. Asa docha los asei is only at the same time. And that's why the Mishnah does not give the case of it became tami inside. Because if it did, then you would say asa docha los asei. Because then you would be able, the very same second that you realize, you wash it. So at that very second, you know that the hashhayas tami bifnim, leaving something tami in the Beis HaMikdash, and at the same time, kibus, so that would be, that's why it doesn't say that case, because then it would be, but then you would have a different din. So by the way, what we've mentioned various times in the past, why is there an opinion that says, you don't say asa docha los asei b'mikdash? Asa docha los asei, what's Beis HaMikdash? Okay, there's a kind of ein shvus b'mikdash, which maybe we'll get back to a little bit later today. But asa docha los asei, that sounds like a bona fide principle. What's the difference between Beis HaMikdash and not Beis HaMikdash? So I'll pee drush a little bit. The Ramban and the Meshech Chachma both say the same ideas. The Ramban in the world of the Rishonim in Parshas Yisro, and the Meshech Chachma in Parshas Zos HaBracha. And that is, that asa docha los asei, I have to remember the Meshech Chachma quotes the Ramban, I don't remember, is based on the principle of Avas Hashem being greater than then Yiras Hashem. And therefore, Aseis are based on Avas Hashem. I love Hashem, therefore I do something, generally. And Los Aseis is because of Yira. I fear, either I fear the punishment, or I fear the one who gives the punishment. Two types of Yira that the Bali Musar talk about. Yiras Ha'onesh or Yiras Ha'romamus. Two different types of Yira. But either way, that keeps me from doing an Aveira. Los Aseis. So Aseis Docha Los Aseis, because Avas Hashem is greater than Yiras Hashem. Because if you think about it, maybe you should say just the opposite. Los Aseis is much worse. If I violate a Los Aseis, I get punished for it. If I don't do a mitzvah asei, what do I have to do? I have to bring a carbon ola? That's the most that there is. A bitul asei. Right, if I violate a los asei, we should say los asei is win. Says the Ramban, no. Asi docha los asei because avat Hashem more than yiras Hashem. So says the Meshech Chachma, adding on to the Ramban, that's why you say ein asi docha los asei b'mikdash. Because in Beis HaMikdash, yiras Hashem is primary. U'mikdashi tira'u, that's where what our focus is supposed to be. And therefore, says the Meshech Chachma, based on the Ramban, that you wouldn't say that here. But again, that relates to the question that is dealt with by the Ola Shlomo here. Why do we say it outside and not, why does the Mishnah give the case of Nitma outside and not inside? Number one. Number two, second issue. Why don't you just tovel the item outside? Another question that the Sfas Emes asks. It's outside, it became Tomei. So you have to rip it apart and then bring it back in? Or to tovel it? Things become, right? Items, tefillah isn't only for people. Tefillah is for items that can become tar. All items can become tar unless it's a certain item that cannot, but most items can become tar. Even, right, food cannot become tar, except as water. Water is the only food that becomes tar after it became tummy. You do hashaka, you connect it to the mikvah. But any other food is tummy, nothing you can do about it. But items can become tummy, right? What does the Mishnah Yisrael Chagiga describe? That when an item became tummy, they used to tovel the paroches, they had shniim and shlishim, they had all the different types of kalim in the base of mikvah. If it became tummy, so that is, I don't know, you can have a dead bug that was found in it, or some other way it became tamei. So you have to tovel into the mikvah, and you have another set to take its place. So why not here? Why don't you just tovel into the mikvah if it became tamei outside? So says the Sfas Emes and the other Achronim, because that would already be considered a kibbutz. And you have to do kibbutz ba'azara. You have to do kibbutz welcome kadosh. So you'd be being mevatel the mitzvah zaseh biyadayim if I do tevila outside. Even if my kavan is only to be tovel it, and not to, I don't scrub it, as we're going to learn, you have to scrub it, but still, it will be the tchila of the mitzvah of kibbutz, and therefore you can't put it into the mikveh outside. Two. One final point on the Mishnah, and then we will continue. And that is the Mishnah spoke about the three types of kalim here. And number one was begadim. If a beggar becomes tameh outside, third is klicheres, second is klicheres, and third is klinechoshes. How does a klicheres become tameh? We know that it's different than any other types of kli. If you have a metal kli or a wooden kli, any other types of kli, it becomes tameh by touch, by negia, right? If a piece of carcass touches the kli, or from the outside, or any other items, negia, masa, maybe carrying for certain types of tumah, klicheres is unique. Klicheres is tameh mitocho. If a dead body touches the back of a klicheres, let's say this cup is klicheres. So if a dead body touches from the outside, it's not tameh. Even a dead body touches it, it's not tummy. It's only if something is hung inside. If the sheretz is hung inside the kli, klicheretz is betami mitocho. That's the din. There's svara for that. There's svara for that din. It's a different klicheretz. It's ABCs of tum and tara. Why is the klicheretz betami mitocho and the other kelim are betami migabo from his back? So the kutzker, this is quoted if you want to look in Hegyoni Halacha, Rav Mirsky, in volume 1, page 151 and 152. He quotes his kutzker. So he says, I don't know where the kutzker is. There's some svarim out there. There are likutim of the Kutzker's Torahs. I'm not sure exactly where this one is, but he quotes it here. He says, why? Because every kli, you have to look at the values of the kli. Most kalim, says the Kutzker, have two values. Shnei arachim. Erech achomer, number one, the value of the material itself. Let's say you have a metal kli. So the metal is worth something, and the fact that it was made into a kli. Now its usage is worth something. So there's the value of the material and the value of what it is created into. Erech HaChomer, Hainu, HaMatecha SheHakli Asui Mimena, VeErech HaTzura, Zeh Beis Kibulo, Tehainu Tocho. What's the Iker Erech? Iker Erech Oshal Makli Mateches, Zeh Chomro, Klo Kli Nechoshes, Nimkar BeMishkal. If I would sell the Kli, I could sell its material. Gold, silver, metal. That the ikar value in halacha would be not what it was made into, but the value of the material itself. And that is why tumah is passed through its ikar material. Its ikar function, and that is touching its material. It doesn't matter if it touches the back of it, the front of it. It's all about the material, so the second it touches it, it's going to be tameh. Mash'eke klicheres. Klicheres is earthenware. It's dirt. It's pottery. Right? So its value, it only has one of it. It doesn't have the value of it, the material itself. It only has the value of what it was made into. So that's why it becomes tamei through that. L'chelke klicheres, af hu asui chomer v'tzura, aval chomer eino nechshav, veino erko ela b'tzura, so hainu tocho, beis kibulo, mishum kach, atuma, kishi pogaz bo, b'tocho hi pogaz, shehu ikaro shalakli. Only tocho is pogaz. And that is why, only if it hangs inside and not touches. And he says the same thing, on the Tara side, how do you make anything Tar? So when it comes to Tara, we usually know that you can still make something Tar if it's still a little bit valuable. If it's still a little bit something there, dunk it in the mikvah. If nothing's left, then you have to start again. So by other kalim, you're right. It has two values. So even though the chomer became Tommy, it's still valuable. It's still shaped into a kli. That's why you can dunk it in the mikvah. It still has something. So you can still use it. Mashayke says, Vachalik zemi son dita tarasa. Taras kelim kriya tikun. And you can only be mitakein if ish tire bo mixas me erklo. Klima techa shenitma gabo vinifsad odish erkla base kibulo. You can hang something inside, it won't become tame. And therefore you can tuck it in the mikveh. Mashayke and klicharis has no value anymore. That's why, you know what? You just have to break it. You just have to break it. And therefore, shvirasan zuhi tikunosan. What is this doing in Rav Mirsky? One might say, I learned Rav Mirsky before Moadim. What is he talking about Tumah Tahara here? Because he compares this to a person. A person is made of Chomer and Sura. We have our guf and we have our neshama. If our guf is nistameh, if it became tameh with our guf, okay, jump into mikvah, we'll be okay. But if even our neshama became tameh, then the only tikkun is shvira. We got to break ourselves, lave nishbar, we got to break, and in that way, start again. Start again, and that's the power of tshuva. Lave nishbar v'nitka elokim losivzeh. I think he doesn't quote the Kotzker. Oh, he does quote it. He quotes the Kotzker, ein shleimus kalev shavur. There's nothing more whole than a broken heart. The Kutzker's line. There he quotes it here in the end of the piece about tshuva, relating to the difference between Kli Cheres and other Kalim, how they became Tame. Okay, let us get into it, continue the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Maskif la Ravina. Says the Gemara, have Ravina ask on our Mishnah, Koro, Beged Amar, Rabbala, Beged who? So I already give the answer to this in the Mishnah, but the Gemara is asking, what does it mean? Let's go, going back to the first case. You have a Beged that has Dam Chattas on it, that went out of the Azara and it became Tamei, so we say rip it, and then bring it back in and do Kibas on it. What does ripping it accomplish? Ripping it, if you ripped it enough that it's not a Beged anymore, and that's why it becomes Tahar, then you don't have a chiyuv of kibbutz anymore, because it's not a beged anymore. And if you didn't rip it too much, and it's still a beged, and it's still tameh, then what do you accomplish? So I ask the Gemara, how could you have this middle case? Beged amar achman ala beged, if you ripped it totally apart, it's not a beged anymore. Answer, to mishai your bay kidei ma'afores. You left a little area, the size of a, I don't know, little ma'afores is a little patch, right, the first wide line, all the way at the bottom in Rashi, third to last line. Rashi says, yet you're able to have this middle status. Demitum aso tahar, hol v'nikra rubo, right, it's not tame anymore because you ripped most of it, v'kiva sheshir bo kedei ma'afores, but since you left a little area of material, ro'ui l'chabro, it's enough that you could piece together a few of these pieces. Ushmo alav, ubeged karinan bay. It's still called a beged, even though it's not the beged that it was. Rashi says you can have this middle status. How could you have a middle status? You would think that, no, if it's a beged, it's still the same beged. Rashi is telling us, no, you can have a status where it's a new beged. Tosfos also, all the Rishonim are bothered by this, how you can have this. In this huge Tosfos, if you want to look where this Tosfos deals with this, if you look on the next Amud, the second wide line. Second wide line of Tosfos. You could underline it and mark it off. The Zeo Tema. The middle of the second wide line. Tosfos asks. The same kasha. Rashi's bothered by. Maishna de la inyun tuma. Lo mikri beged minat Torah. Why is it regarding tuma? It's not called a beged d'arais anymore. Afagav the shayah berkadeh maforas. Even though you have a certain amount left. Ula gabi dam chatas mikri beged. Regarding dam chatas, it's still called a beged. Regarding the mitzvah of kibus. We're going to see the same answer by the other Kalim also. By Kucharis, you break it enough that it's not Tame anymore, but not what it used to be, but it still has the, it's still called a Kli. So how do you have all these in-betweens? So skip a line. Tosfos says on the fourth wide line, V'nira lafarish, kivan shemoil lo yichud lo oso beged, shashir bokdeg ma'afores, shlo hivdil akram apre kulo, ula o, really, says Tosfos, if you really wanted to make this material that's left into a kli, like in terms of a handkerchief, in terms of a scarf, so if you wanted to make it usable now, you could. It's just that usually people sew a few of these together to use it to a kli. But if you wanted to be miyachid it right now, it's good enough. So it still has status right now. But in the state that it's in before you miyachid it, it's not. That's why you have this middle status. Ula also kli sheniki b'sharash katan, or the kli that you make a little hole in, as we'll see soon. Shemhayim yachtel azesim olurim, onayim makabal tumim mikarnal haba. You'd be able to make it into a kli right now. Choshev hu kli ubega lenin dam chatas, kiva sheinim chuser maisa el yichud ba'alma. So again, Tosfos is struggling. But Tosfos, like Rashi, says you can have this middle status. It's still called a kli or a beged enough in order for you to still have a chiv of kibbus on, and to have a mitzvah of kibbus. Mashein kein, it is not called the same kli or beged, that it would still retain the tumah that it had. Okay, so that is the middle definition that the Gemara comes up with. Says the Gemara now, is that really true? That if you left kedei ma'afores, it's not called the kli anymore that it was, but it's still called a kli? So v'hama Rav Huna, but didn't Rav Huna say, discussing how much you have to rip something in order to remove its tumah, lo shanu ela shlo shir ba kedei ma'afores. It's only tahar from what it had been, is if you rip, and you did not leave enough of ma'aforis. You didn't leave that little patch. Aval shir bal kedei ma'aforis chibur havi. But if you did leave that amount, it's a chibur. It's still the original kli. So it's just against what we said. We succeed at first is too much. Answer, midrabanan hu. It's only nisadurabanan. Midaraisa, if you rip, even if you have a little kedei ma'aforis left, that's tar daraisa. Midrabanan, we say that's tame. Why? Rashi says gzeira on top. Rashi says gzeira, you might come to only rip less than that. Domo lo asi lemikra ruba, you won't do rove, and that midoraisa would be a problem. It would be called a cleave. That's why we make a gzeira. Gzeira, that it's not good enough, you have to rip even more. I ain't shvus ba mikdash. We're talking about Beis HaMikdash, ain't shvus ba mikdash. So you can get two answers. Either that's not a total principle, sometimes you do a shvus ba mikdash. Right, it's not totally, something's fine, Yisrael Rabbanan is in Mikdash. Number two, maybe the issue here is we're worried that Yisraelim are going to be involved, not just Kohanim. And maybe Ancient Shabbat Mikdash is only by Kohanim, based on Kohanim's Rizimheim, which one Gabara seems to say. But Yisraelim not, then maybe Yisraelim here, if somebody took it out, this is now outside the Azara. You're talking about going back inside. So is that, what does Mikdash mean? Does Mikdash mean Azara? Does Mikdash mean outside the Azara? So, but the Rishonim here don't deal with that problem. Okay, let's get it, continue. Kli charis yatza v'chulu. So a kli charis that goes out. Says the same exact shakla v'tarya. Kli amar achmada v'lo kli. What do you mean? Once you break it, we say a kli charis, you have to break it outside. So is that a kli anymore? So what type of mitzvah are you going to do with the kibus? Shenikev v'shorish katan. You make a tiny little hole in it, and that's enough to remove its tumah, because it cannot be used for what it was used for beforehand. Let's say it was used for liquids beforehand. It cannot be used for liquids anymore, but it's enough to still be called a kli. Right? The whole many prakim in Maseches Kalim discuss this. How much do you have to break a kli or a barrel or a cup or a bowl in order for it to be considered a new kli to remove its tumah? Right? That's the, think about it. Bizman Beis HaMikdash. So most Kalim they have were Cheres. So most that they had. So if a kli Cheres became Tamei, so you have to know about it. It probably happened all the time. All the time, people became Tamei. You know, it's not so hard to become Tamei. A Balkarius Tamei, and a Zav, and a Nida. Nida also has to eat. And a Tumas Mace. So many Tumas came up. So if you could dunk Kalman and make me have a metal clay, fine. But if you have a Kli Charis, you have to break your Kli Charis every time? What if you want to, you use this for cereal? Okay, I won't use it for cereal, I'll use it for fruit now. So if you make a little hole in it, maybe it's tar, now I'll use it for fruit. Use a Ferrari, but put fruit in on Shabbos afternoon. So maybe that would be helpful. So you have to do all these halachas, every halacha l'maisa, right? Maybe everybody's gonna sign up for kalim during those yard sites, right? Nobody signs up for kalim bizman hazeh because it's 30 prakim. But bizman beis hamikdash, that way, but nobody's gonna die then, Be'ez Hashem. Well, it gets into the issue of are people gonna die then, right? We discussed that the first daf in Perek Chelek. Different Olam Haba and Tchias HaMesim and Yimos HaMashiach, all the different shitas about what that is. And the Rambam says, we really don't know what it's going to be until it is, so we shouldn't spend time on it. It doesn't inspire, and it doesn't bring people closer to Avas Hashem or Yiras Hashem. So that's all that we will say about it. Vaiter. Kli Nechoshes. Third line. Kli Nechoshes. Pochso V'chulu. So a metal kli, we also destroy somewhat. Palav klihu, same question, but it's not a kli then. If you break it, the ruts of mirza, bang it back together. After you break it a little bit, you bang it back together. Rashi says makin alav bekurnis. You bang it back together umachabro the chazar shame kli alav, and the shame kli returns to it before you bring it back in. So that's a chiddush. It returns what you lost the shame kli in the middle. But you still have the mitzvah of kibus? That's a big chiddush, Rashi says. V'chazar shem kli alav. Right? It returns. So maybe Rashi means v'chazar the original, but either way, it's enough. This gets into the middle status again. It's enough to be called the same kli in order for you to do kibus on it. Period. Amar Reish Lakish, new statement. Says Reish Lakish, me'il shenitma. yesterday's parsha, the Me'il. The Me'il, the entire long Tcheles made coat of the Kohen Gadol, which had the Rimonim and the bells at the bottom. So that Me'il became Tameh. So what do you do? Shenitma. Machniso bepachot bishalosh al shalosh. What's the problem? You can't rip the Me'il. That's the issue. You want to rip it, so you can't rip the Me'il. It's yesterday's parsha. Right? You're not allowed to rip a Me'il. Lo yikareya. So you can't just take little pieces in. So what do? You just stand by the edge of the Azara, and you push in, inside the Azara, little areas of less than shalosh al shalosh. Tiny little areas, you bring it in each time, and you wash it, and then you put it outside, and you wash it each time, because you can't bring a davar tamei into the Beis HaMikdash, into the Azara. You can't rip the Me'il, so what do? You want to do the mitzvah of kippus on this. So, that's what you do. Machnisa b'vachat b'shalosh al shalosh, you bring it in little by little. Less than 3 by 3, u'michabso, and you wash it there. Bishop shenemar lo yikareya. Because it says one is not allowed to rip it, and therefore you bring it in little by little. If you look at the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Ayin Beis, the language of the Gemara is that you're not allowed to rip any of the Big Day Kahuna, not just the Me'il. The Torah Shebichsav is only by Me'il yesterday, but in the Torah Shebichsav, the Gemara says Beferish, Daf Ayin Beis, that it's all the Big Day Kahuna, and that is what the Rambam passes. The Rambam in Perek Tes in Hilchos Klei Migdash Halacha Gimel says the Rambam Hami'il Kulo Tcheles. The chutav kfulid shneimasar. It's a lot of snails. Upiv arug betchilas arigaso. Ve'en lo beis yad alanech lak l'shtek safayim min asofa garon. He describes it. Va'korea pia mi'il loke. Shneimar lo yikareya. Ve'hu adin l'cho beite kahuna. Sha'korea usam derech hashchasa loke. The Rambam says not only the mi'il, but if you rip any of them in a destructive manner, loke. So the achronim, the Mishlo Melech here, quotes the Karban Chagiga. You know who that is? Of course, he says, why do I add that in that last phrase? He says, this is the Kaddish of Me'il, and then he says, and if you rip the Me'il, you get Malkus. And the same thing applies to all Beit Kahuna if you rip it Derech Hashchasa. As if to say that Me'il is Usur even if you don't rip it Derech Hashchasa. Sounds like if you rip the Me'il, you get Malkus, and if you rip any Beit Kahuna Derech Hashchasa, in a destructive manner, you get Malkus. What about this case? What if a bat of one of the Begadim became Tameh, and you're only ripping it, not Derech Hashchasa, but you're ripping it in order to bring it back into the Azara to do the bits of Kibbutz to? After all, why does Reish Lakish focus on the Me'il? If the halacha applies to all Big Day Kahuna, why does he focus on the Me'il? So the Karban Chagiga is medayek that only the Me'il is usher no matter what. You can't rip the Me'il for any purpose, even non-derech hashchasa. That's why Reish Lakish talks about it here. Other begadim, other begadim only derech hashchasa. Why? That's Sarachian. Why dafka is the Me'il different than the other begadim? Why does the Torah Shebichsav focus on Me'il? Right, that's the one that goes around his neck, the ketonis also goes around there, goes, it's like a shirt underneath the Me'il. But either way, that is the suggestion of the Karban Chagiga. The Mishnah Melech here and also later on quotes this and argues. He quotes the Karban Chagiga here and he does not like it. He says, if you look in Maisa Karbanis, in Ches Chaf, the Rambam also talks about it there. In Paraches Halacha Chav of Maaser Karbanus, the Rambam there says, Me'il shenitas alav dam chatas v'yatsav nitma b'chutz, ketzed osei, quotes Reish Lakish's Halacha, harei ha-korea osa loke, machnitsa pachas pachas b'shalash etzbos. You bring it in with less than 3 by 3 fingers breaths, u'mechabso b'fnim, and you wash it inside, v'yachat she'yischab es kol adam ma'at ma'at, ma'atbilin osa b'chutz. If you do kibos, remember, the only the spot that has dam on it has to be brought in. So you probably only have dam on a little bit of the Me'il. So you bring it in, and then you wash it outside. You tovel it outside, and now it's tar, then you can bring it back in. But the Mishnah Melech here quotes it as well, but he does not like it. He thinks it's a diak in the Rambam. So it's a nice diak, but that is, it also explains why Reish Lakish only focuses on Me'il.
What would be the case in the Mishnah then, according to the Mishnah Melech?
What would be the case of the Mishnah? A beged?
Yeah.
The beged, she has a chutz l'klayim, where do you rip it? It's got to be a non-big day kahuna. Right, what other begadim do they have? They probably had their towels to wipe things up. They probably had other items there in the, just not one of the Big Day Kahuna. Right, some other type of material. Okay, Viter. Says the Gemara. So Reish Lakish says, the Me'il became Tameh, you gotta bring it in with less than 3 by 3 fingers breaths It's both worth the material at once. Mosiv Rav Ada Bar Ava. Rav Ada asks, 1 minute, the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Kelim, Ha'avin v'harachim ein bahem mishum shalosh ha'shalosh. Very thick and soft materials don't have the halacha of shalosh ha'shalosh. Meaning, if you have like a garment with very thick threads, then it's basically not usable if it's less than that. By other begadim, if it's 3x3, it's ba'os worth, that's good enough. That can be used for something. You could use that for a patch. But if you have that size, but with material that's very thick threads, so then it's impossible. You're never going to be use that for a patch. So therefore, here, by the me'il, it's very thick threads. It's aven. And therefore, the shear shouldn't be shalosh al shalosh etzbaos, but as Rashi says in the first wide line, it should be shlosha al shlosha tvachim. You should have a larger material able to be brought in of the me'il. Right? Because the me'il is made of thick threads. And if it's thick threads, the Mishnah tells us that you have a larger area that you have to work with. Answers the Gemara, no, agav avihen chashive. You're right, if you just had a little bit of area of that type of material with thick threads, then you'd need a larger area to be chashiv. But here, remember, it's attached to a whole beged. So, agav avihen, because it's with their father, because it's with the larger beged, so every little area has chashivus, even though just by itself it wouldn't have chashivus. Period. Tosas here discusses that the Gemara in Maseches Shabbos has the line big day aniyim la aniyim, big day ashirim la ashirim, which Rashi there in Shabbos Daf Mem Zayim says that there's different shiurim depending on your social class in terms of items becoming tameh. A beged ani, if you have a very tiny beged that an ani would use that an ashir wouldn't use, if it becomes tameh, it wouldn't become tameh for an ashir, but it would become tameh for an ani. That's the halacha, depending on the size. So that's how Rashi learns the Gemara. Says Tosas, I don't agree with Rashi, because if that's true, in the Beis HaMikdash, everything is beged ashir. Ein aniyus b'makam ashiris. And therefore you should have the higher area for all big day kahuna. So forget the me'il, that it's av. All big day kahuna, you should have a larger area allowed, because it's all beged ashirim. That's why Tosas reinterprets that whole Gemara is only talking about Tumas Medris, but not Tumas Meis or Tumas Sheretz. Tumas Meis or Masheretz, even an Ashir goes by a smaller shear. Because of our Gemara, that's what Tosa says. Achronim try to answer for Rashi. How does Rashi answer it? How do you have a smaller shear if all begadim of the Beis HaMikdash are called Big Day Kahuna? You can look up the Stipler. The Stipler deals with this problem to defend Rashi. It's Simon Mem Vav, Osir Beis. But now we have to continue. Says the Gemara now, fourth to last line. Now this is going back on the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah that you have to do kibbutz for habai shivas samamanim. But I have a question on the whole concept of kibbutz. Don't you have to do kibbutz with the 7 samamanim, the 7 special cleansing items? The Maseches Nida, that's what we'll get to in a year and a half. Maseches Nida talk tells us that in order to check if something is blood or something is dye, they have to wash it with 7 special samamanim. And after you do that, if it comes off, it's blood, and if it doesn't come off, it's dye. D-Y-E. So, don't you have to do the same process for kibbutz? Amar Nachman, Amar Ravua, Dam Chatas, Umaris, Negoim, Tzricha, Shiva, Samamanim, Dam Chatas, and Negoim also. If you want to scrub off at Saras, it requires a 7 Samamanim. Vitanya, and the Brisa says, Eloshem Achis, and Miraglaim Lamikdash. One of the Samamanim is urine, is Miraglaim. So therefore, the question is, so how do you bring it, how do you do kibbutz? How do you bring Miraglaim into the Beis HaMikdash? Right, how do you do that? And the chitim, and if you want to say demivla lo by the shivas amanim, maybe you just mix up all the 7 cleansing elements first, and then you bring it in. Umar lo hulakulu kachan, and you just do it all at once. So the Gemara says that's not true. What's not? The Mishnah says anida heavir and shalokisidron. If you use these items out of order, o sheheavir shiv asam keechad, or you did it all at once, lo asav lo klum, doesn't work. So it's got to be exactly in order, all of these types of soaps and cleansing elements. Okay, maybe that means you can't mix them all together at once. Maybe you can mix 2 of them together. So mix the Meiraglaim in with 1 of them. No, that also doesn't work. You have to scrub each one 3 times. So you can't mix Meiraglaim into 1 of them. So answers the Gemara, no. El demibla luhu barok tafel. Rok tafel, which is saliva, which is tafel. That means saliva from the mouth of a person that didn't eat anything in the morning. That's rok tafel, a pure saliva. You mix that into each one of the other six. And then you wash and wash with them. So it is. So you dilute, basically. Dilute the Meir HaGlayim, so it's not called Meir HaGlayim anymore. Damar Ish Lakish, rok tafel. Tzarek she'ayim kol echad ve'echad. You mixed each one in. Fine. There's a problem with the sheet of the Rambam, because the Rambam, you would think at the end of the day, okay, wonderful, everything's fine, we've explained everything. Feeling the Rambam says, in Hilchos Maisa Karbanis, that you don't bring Meir HaGlayim into the base of Mikdash and do kibbutz. Use the other six. So, where does that come from? So the Lecha Mishnah and the Radvaz both say, he argues with our Gemara. He assumes it's a Machlokas HaSugyas, he quotes a different Gemara, but in Maisa Karbanis, Perachas HaLachates, the Rambam says, Beferish, that you don't bring Meir HaGlayim into the base of Mikdash. Don't bring it in into the Azar. One more ha'ara, and then we'll continue. The Mikdash David asks, what's the whole purpose of the seven samamanim? Aren't they, like I just explained before, they're for nida, to figure out if it's dam or if it's a kesem of something else? So what do you have to use the shiva samamanim for kibbutz? So he says, it must be, it's exeris hakasif. He says, after all, he says, what if you use these seven samamanim? Do they really get the dam off? Do they get the dam chadas off? The same rules for dam chadas and the dam of a person? Who knows? He says, we don't know if it really cleansed it or not, or if it stayed there, but it must be the mitzvah is to do the ma'isa kibbutz. And even if it doesn't come off, it's still good enough. You yotze the mitzvah. And even if it came off beforehand, you gotta continue doing all seven. That's the mitzvah. This is Mikdash David and Siman Laman Aleph. He says, ma'ich balon with the seven. Okay, nira, devadam chadas, ainu tali lahotzi adam. The purpose of kibbutz is not to get the dam out. Rak mitzvahs kibbutz alav. V'yafilu yotze adam b'sam echad. Tzorch lahaber zayin samamanim. The mitzvahs kibbutz al habeged, the kibbutz mikri behavara zayin samamanim. Vim hever ala zayin samamanim velo yasa adam, eno zakag od. Afilo mu'efshalo adi dvar macherim. Tekiya mitzvahs kibbutz. Special din, this maisa has to be done. It's the maisa that's important and not the totsa'a. Period. Says the Mishnah. Echad shebishabov echad shilotocha rosayach. So, now we're branching out. We're not talking about Dam Chadas anymore. Now we're talking about generally Kalim that have the taste of Karbanis in them. So again, you have to wash them if there's no sar in them. So Echad Shabisha, but it doesn't matter if a carbon was cooked in a Kli. Vechad Shiru Tachoroseach, or you did Iru, you poured in, Chata soup into a Kli. Echad Kachi Kachim, Echad Kachim Kalim, no matter what, to Unim Riku Shtifa. They have to be kashered. They have to do Mriku Shtifa to them. If you want them to be used again, right? If they're klicheres, you have to break them. Reb Shimon Omer, Kachem Kalam, Ein Tunim Riku Shtifa. Kachem Kalam do not. We'll have to see in the Gemara what his source is. Tana Rabbanon, Asher Tivu Shalbo. That's cooked in it. Ein Li Elo Shabi Shalbo. Iru L'Sakar Vaseyach Minayin. I only know that if a carbon is cooked in a kli. But if it's poured into, how do I know? Tamalomar. Question the Girsa here. Our Girsa is, Vasher Tivu Shalbo Yishaver. That's the puzzle that includes it. That's Tosfos' Girsa. Rashi takes out the word Tevushal. Asher bo yishaver. Says the Brisker Rav, what's the machlokas? Irui, we know, cooks a certain level, which we'll talk about in a minute. When I pour something hot, it cooks. Irui. So is that really a form of cooking, or is that a new machayev? That's the machlokas Rashi Tosfos according to the Brisker Rav, because Rashi takes out the word Tevushal in terms of the Girsa. Let's continue though first. Boy, remember Chama, Tzlo, Bavir, Atanur, Mahu. If I hang a carbon, let's say I hang a spit inside an oven, and then I roast something there, and it doesn't drip. So I just roast it in the oven, Mahu. So does that make does it make it to a state that requires it to be kosher? Abishol ubi luahu to kapit rachmana. Do we say that the reason you have to do mriku shtifa on the kalim is because it was cooked in and it was nivla into the walls? And here there was no blia. Right, it was cooked in, but there was no blia. There was no absorption into the walls because nothing touched. O dilma, abishol below bilua. Or even just bishol without bilua inside. So amar rava, tashma, echad shibishabov, echad shiril tocha raseach. What do you mean? Irui works. And irui you didn't cook in. So Gemara says, no, that's the opposite. Balua below bishol lo kami boilon. Balua without bishol, that's not the kasha. That we know requires kashering. Ki kami boilon, bishol below bilua, my. Our question is the other way. When you cook something in it, which does not create bulia. So that's the shaila. But what is it called iru here? That's an important line. Maybe this is where Rashi got it from. It calls irui balua below bishol. So does that just mean you didn't actually cook in it, but halachically is called cooking? Or it's not even halachically called cooking. It's a new machayev. Maybe that's where Rashi got it from, that line. Either way, tashma. Damar of Nachman, Amar Rabba Bavua, Tanur shel mikdash shel matechas hoya. The oven in the base of mikdash was made out of metal. Meaning, it dafka was not made out of cheres. Because then you'd have to break it each time. But says the Gemara, v'isaka daitach, bishul below bilua, lo kapid. If you want to say that bishul without biluya, there's no problem with, so, nevit shel cheres. Why don't you just use cheres and cook without touching the sides in it? Just roast the carbon inside. So why don't you, it must be that it's not true. It must be that bishul below bilua does create a chiyuv of kashering. Says the Gemara, no. Kiva di'ika shiari minachos. The afiyasad batanur. Since, look, lamaisa, you're gonna have to use the oven for putting something on the walls. You're gonna have to bake the leftover of the carbon minchas. Gotta make pitas. Right? Or matzah. How do you make pitas or pitas? You can't hang it in there. You gotta put it on the walls. So since you're gonna need to do that anyway, and you're not gonna be able to use chayres for that, vika bishul bilu, abdina shal matachas, so you just use matachas, period, because that is what you're going to have to use anyway. Period. The big Tosfos here, Tosfos has a big Tosfos about this in Maseches Shabbos and elsewhere. Whenever the sugya of Irui comes up, Tosfos talks about it. Three shitas in the Rishonim. Right, very important for Hilchas Kashrus, but also for Hilchas Shabbos. Hilchas Shabbos, when I pour boiling hot liquid or anything, so what is the halacha? So Tosfos, all the places that Tosfos discusses this, quotes all three shitas. Rabbi Tam, the Rashbam, and the middle shita. Rabbi Tam, right here, first line of Tosfos. Mikan medaktik Rabbi Tam, the Irui kekli Rishon. Pouring is like a kli rishon. If I have boiling hot water from a kli rishon, and let's say I pour it onto anything, that's cooking it as if it's in a kli rishon. Right, for Hilchas Shabbos, Hilchas Kashrus, Irui is a kli rishon. That's Rabbeinu Tam. Why? Because here, consider it a mevushal. It learns that from a pasuk. This is Rabbeinu Tam's big rayas. Se'um v'nired da'adarabah. So the Tosfos says, no, what do you need a mukkah for then? You don't need a mukkah for if Irui is fully cooking. So that's why Tosfos then quotes the Rashbam on the first skinny line. Rabbeinu Shmuel ayim adaktik tiri kekli sheni, the opposite extreme. No! The second that it leaves the airspace of a kli rishon, it is automatically called the kli sheni. Even if it didn't hit the kli sheni yet, right? I take this water, I pour it, the second that it's in the air, out of the kli rishon, so then it's called kli sheni. After all, it doesn't quote it here, but Tosfos and Shabbos Daf Mem Amud Bei says, what's the difference between kli rishon and kli sheni? That's the $1 million question. What's the difference? You can have a kli sheni that's hotter than a kli rishon. Why does the Gemara say kli rishon is mevashel, kli sheni is not mevashel? Why? Because Tosfos says, defanos mechamamos, or defanos mekararos. Are the walls, what direction the walls are going into? If the walls are heating, so then that's a kli rishon. If the walls are in the cooling direction, so then it's a kli sheni. So, right when it leaves the walls, the Rashbam holds it's a kli sheni. That's kli rishon, kli sheni. We don't paskin like either of these shitas. Rabbi Tam or the Rashbam. We paskin like the middle shita. And that is, the last, fifth to last skinny line, that is, mevashel kidei klipa. We paskin that Irui cooks the outer layer. And therefore, most of the time, let's say Berachas Shabbos, so it's still cooking. You know how to do it. If you're pouring it onto something that's not mavusha, let's say tea bags, according to most poskim, are not cooked. So if I do irui from a kli rishon onto a tea bag, that's bishul daraisa. It's bishul daraisa. Why? Because that's irui is mavusha kadei klipa, and I'm cooking. But there's a heter also. Let's say I want to warm up a baby bottle. Poskim talk about this in the Shabbos Svarim. I want to warm up a baby bottle, so it has milk in it. I want to warm it up, so what could I do? So I could put it into a kli sheni with hot water, fine. But am I allowed to put the bottle right under the urn and open up the spigot and let the hot water go right onto it? The answer is yes. Why? Because what's the layer? What's the outer layer that we paskin? That's the bottle itself, the hard plastic. The hard plastic, that's not getting cooked. And that's the only thing that could be passing. Mavashek de klipa. And the milk inside will get boiled up, but that's fine. That's fine, because that's already in a kli shady. So that is the sugyas of Irui. Again, there's a lot more to talk about, but Irui, this is all, by the way, just to mention, this is all Irui on a solid. What about Irui on a liquid? Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit at the beginning of tomorrow's shiur. And then we'll get into the next sugya, which is making milchik bread. Making milchik bread comes up in Psachim and in Zvachim. Right here, milchik bread. How is it that the OU gives a hechsher to Thomas's English muffins? Oh, you did! It's an Isser Drabbanan we'll see tomorrow about making milk and bread. Everybody should come on time. That's the first sugya that comes up tomorrow. Okay, we'll stop here. Remember, the tomorrow night is the shiur of Psikresha, the Ian shiur related to the daf, and then Tuesday night is the Parsha shiur this week. Tuesday night.